coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, September 1, 2022. It's me, it's Eric the Tech, and Lady the Studio Dog right by me.
I'm not here.
You're not. Yeah, Eric's not here today. Folks, I want to just ask for your prayers for Stan Deo. Stan Deo is ill. It's my understanding. Okay, it's my understanding that he has contracted SARS-CoV-2, and he's in need of your prayers. So please, he's not going to be with us today, not going to be with me today. So please send him an email of well wishes if you feel so inclined, and also keep him in your prayers. That's Stan Deo, and keep him in your prayers, all right, for a fast recovery on this. All right, right to it. I got a lot of stuff to get into. This is going to be, please, I beg you, and I mean this, please share this on social media. Now, look, folks, I am on Truth Social. I'm on Getter. I'm on Gab. I'm on, I don't know, everywhere except that garbage pits, Twitter and Facebook. Okay. Now, while we can speak out, because this whole show echoes what Dan Bongino said earlier today, the police state is here. I expect, fully expect, as does Eric the Tech, as does everyone in my family, fully expect to get hopefully a knock on the door, not at 6 a.m, but we're prepared for that as well, by the FBI, for the information that we've provided in this platform, the Hunter Biden laptop specifically, the information there, my contacts with the Donald Trump team of lawyers, the fact that I've got unredacted copies of the Hunter Biden laptop, of other documents, the fact that we supported January 6th, and if anything, and I'm going to say this right now, and I mean this, if anything, we did not go far enough on January 6th. Now, that does not mean with violence. You know, Steve Bannon talks about you win, then you close the deal. Well, we didn't close anything on January 6th. The Constitution of our great republic, once great republic, needs to be followed. It is not being followed. I've got some information here. I want to get to this really quickly. Of course, you know this. This affects every one of you. Inflation numbers came out higher than expected, 8.3% in August. What would you expect? By the way, the rule of seven, the rule of 72, rule of sevens, at 7%, prices double in 10 years. The food at home index up 13.5% over the last 12 months. How you doing? Hey, how's that Biden working out for you? No mean tweets. Look, I know you didn't vote for him. I know I know that the Biden regime is installed. It's an illegitimate government in the United States. Let me say that again in case the FBI Nimrods did not get it. The Biden regime is illegitimate. Clear? Am I clear? They have been illegitimately installed. They cheated during the last election, and they will cheat this next election. In case you haven't seen this, the Department of Justice refuses, Merrick Garland refuses to release Biden's plan to intervene in the 2022 election. Hey, do you understand what this means? Please, I'm not talking down to the audience. I mean, does the average person understand what this means? The Department of Justice is refusing to release 15 pages of documents explaining the Biden regime's strategy to implement voter access policy that's being coordinated with left-wing groups, the Zuckerbergs. I mean, name a left-wing group, name an NGO. They are planning to steal the 2022 midterms. If you watch them, they're walking around. You know they're going to steal the election. In March of last year, Biden signed, look this up, Executive Order 14019. The formal title is Promoting Access to Voting. He issued an executive order on access to voting in March of 2021. That instructs federal government agencies to promote voter registration, help Americans apply to vote by mail, and combat misinformation. That's the police state is here by decree of King Potato Head. The executive order on promoting access to voting reads like a Democratic Party wish list of reforms that enshrines many of the practices that were adopted on a temporary basis during the SARS-CoV pandemic, plandemic, scandemic. Here's what it includes. Using federal agencies to promote voter registration. Okay, your tax dollars going to steal the 2022 election. Using the same federal agencies and different agencies to inform Americans about voting. In other words, lying about the voting process. Linking federal agency websites to state voter registration websites. Oh, hot, great idea. That way they can steal it in real time, quicker and more, with better efficacy. Providing voter registration and vote by mail applications. Of course. Here's my idea of voting. One ballot. A pen, okay, a piece of paper, a person to watch, a person to count, and a person to submit, and then it's all done. One day voting. We don't need this early voting. We don't need, okay, using approved nonpartisan third-party organizations to register voters at federal agencies. Yeah, that'll work. This is my personal favorite, in case you haven't noticed. Providing more multilingual services to potential voters. Hey, this is America. Speak English. I don't want to have to press one for English. Okay, I don't need to do that. Speak friggin' English if you're in this country. Promoting. This is my second favorite. You ready for this? Okay, if you're driving, don't aim for the bridge abutment, okay? Promoting voter registration for federal prisoners. I was in the courthouse today, local courthouse today, for a couple of reasons. And I walked by the holding cells. It's a humorous thing I do once in a while. Never mind. One of the provisions states, it's the responsibility of the federal government to expand access to and education about voter registration and election information and combat misinformation in order to enable all eligible Americans to participate in our democracy. We don't have a friggin' democracy. We've got a representative republic, in case you haven't noticed. Democracy, we've got a... Never mind. You know. Okay, but here's the thing. You know, the thing. The Department of Justice says, no, we're not going to tell you what it says. The 15-page plan to intervene in the 2022 election, we're not going to give you that. You can FOIA us all day long. How you liking your FOIA now? There's a reason I say that. Some might understand. I'm not allowed to say anything more than that. Look, we're in the soup. The police state is here, and that's why I want to bring in Dan Bongino right now. If you didn't catch Dan's show today, I urge you, it'll be in the program. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. I'm going to get to this very, very quickly. Dan was on fire today. Revelations. Look, people are being red-pilled, white-pilled, black-pilled. I mean, people damn well know what's going on. Before I get to Dan Bongino, if we can pull up Breitbart as it was earlier today, pull up Breitbart if you don't mind, put it on the screen. I just want to show people where we are. See that in red, climate of violence. Climate of violence. This is coming to you, whether you like it or not, whether you expect it, or whether you're prepared for it or not. We are trying to prepare you for it. So at least you have a little bit of a chance of survival if you are of that caliber of person who chooses that. Tim Ryan, we need to kill and confront extremist Republican movement. Let me say that one more time. Tim Ryan, we need to kill and confront extremist Republican movement. Now, who in the hell is the extremist here? Is it me calling for peace? Calling for law and order and justice? Or is it Tim Ryan who wants to kill you and confront the MAGA Republicans? And you might say, well, wait a second. You know, we can change this. We can change this. Because we can get involved. Yes, you can. How'd that work out for Tracy Beans? Now, Tracy Beans is a good friend of mine. I love that young lady. Kind of like a daughter, almost. And you can even tell her I said so. She's classy. She knows what she's talking about. She's intelligent. She's got a great family. Great mom. Hi, Mom. Uncovered DC today, earlier. Here's her story. I'll just give you a little bit of it. You want to put that on the screen? I've been condemned by the South Carolina GOP. Why does it matter to you? And that really, that picture of Trump, in reality, they're not after me, they're after you. That kind of says it all. But, and he says, I'm just in the way, obviously. But let me just cut to the chase. The link will be, it's a long read. Put it, read this, okay, read it. God bless Tracy Beans for her tenacity and for everything she does. But here's a spoiler alert. The system is broken. There is no right and left. There's a uniparty, one party, and they're against all of us. That's the bottom line. You get people more and more waking up. And with that awakening, you're going to have, this is going to go kinetic. I'm telling you right now, what we're seeing is going to go kinetic. It may be not in the way you think it is. There's something called vertical integration. Now, this is just the way I think. If you apply vertical integration as it would be normally, okay, used in society, this vertical integration, I would apply that to the kinetic aspect of where we are going to be. You listening to this, if you were in DC, even if you weren't, but so the feds think you were, you're going to get a visit, or you're going to get a notice, perhaps. I'm telling you, it's coming. The January 6th committee is going to reconvene. Oh my goodness. Subpoenas have gone out to many. Many more are coming. Nothing about this is about the 6th of January. Nothing. This committee. Nothing about this is about the rule of law. Nothing. But let me do this because of time limitations. Let's go right to, where did I put my notes here? Let's go right, okay. Let's go right to the video source from Dan Bongino today. The police state is here. I would urge everyone to watch this and share this. But I ask you, share this video, the Hagmann Report on Getter, on Gab, on Truth Social, on all of the free, on Parler. I'm on Parler as well. Spread it everywhere you can, please. And please subscribe to our Rumble and or our Brighteon channels. You can feel free to comment there. Feel free to tell me I'm full of crap. I don't care. But get involved. Get involved. All right. I want you to watch this. Watch this segment. This from earlier today, Dan Bongino. Clip one. Go ahead and play it.
To tell you everything's going to be good and delicious tomorrow morning, because it's not. We got to do something about it. And the thing that worries me the most, with less than 60 days to vote now in the midterms, is, folks, the police state is here. We must stop the metastasizing FBI, DOJ, Biden administration, police state. We are now completely third world. We are not even remotely attached to a law enforcement intel swamp in D.C. that's actually doing law enforcement and intel. Not even remotely. The FBI, DOJ, and I believe a lot of intel agencies right now, their management leadership has been entirely, completely corrupted. The Biden-Garland police state is here. The mask has come off. Folks, how do you explain this? Washington Examiner, Trump confidants targeted as the DOJ ratchets up January 6th investigation with 40 subpoenas.
Tyranny.
You're damn freaking right, tyranny. And we said it yesterday. Tyrants do tyranny, and they do it well.
Okay. 40 subpoenas. Now, that's different than a search and seizure warrant, okay? But subpoenas. You're going to see subpoenas and search and seizure warrants in the triple digits. This is intimidation. Tom Fenton, and I think Dan mentions this, from Judicial Watch, a tremendous patriotic organization. The power of the left is that they understand that the process is the punishment. That's Tom Fitton. I've always said the process is the punishment. Having undergone that, having undergone the process, I can tell you it is the punishment. When you've got to find, when you've got to put a second or third mortgage on a home in order to fight the process, when you got to take your family to the brink of bankruptcy, and I'm not crying poor, you know, woe is me. I'm telling you what is coming to everyone who stands up, whose head is above the crowd and says, I'm not taking this crap anymore. But you know what? That's a small price to pay. And in retrospect, small price to pay. I'm still here. I got the scars. I lick my wounds. You get up, you dust yourself off, and you get back in the game. And that's what every one of us should be doing. And I believe that is a godly way to handle things. All right, clip number two. Let's go ahead and take clip number two from the same program, this video source. And again, watch the entire, and I want to thank Dan Bongino for allowing the use of this. The entire program link is in the program description box. You have to go to HagmannReport.com, two ends on Hagmann, open it up and find it. All of the current episode sources, links are in there, is what it sponsors too, as well as the previous links. It's good. And we're expanding. We're expanding some things. We are making some changes. I am so excited about the changes that we're making right now. Just stay tuned, but play clip number two.
I warned you a long time ago that the January 6th investigation has nothing to do with January 6th and everything to do with weaponizing the FBI and DOJ that are now completely lost as a political tool of the Democrat Party to intimidate political opponents. Let me just restate something. You'll hear from Tucker again in a minute in this clip. It's about a minute plus. It's a pretty decent clip. It's worth your time. You live in what used to be a constitutional republic. You have a big R God-given right to speak freely. Listen to me. You have a big R God-given right to speak freely. If you believe the 2020 election was stolen, fleeced, there was malfeasance, there was misfeasance, there was a little fraud, there was a lot of fraud, you speak out. You live in a free country, damn it. And there's nothing the FBI or the DOJ can do to take away your rights. They can scare you. They can arrest you. But if you stand strong, they can't stop you. What are they going to do? Put duct tape over your mouth?
Now, keep listening.
I get it. There's a penalty for all this, folks. Well, Dan, if I speak out, I could be next. Folks, I could be next. You have any idea how many texts and messages I've got from close friends? I kid you not, who said to me, hey, has the FBI knocked on your door yet? You realize this is how crazy it is. We now live in a North Korea type police state.
Pause
where friends of mine who are supporting.
Okay. I want you to listen to exactly what he said, because I've gotten the same emails, text messages, phone calls, and personal warnings. Look, they are going to be coming to take to talk with you because of our stance on January 6th. Eric the Tech, too. I'm telling you, if you, and I'm not saying this to scare you, just be prepared because it's coming. Go ahead and continue with this.
Supporters of Donald Trump are not, you don't understand, they're not just like mildly anxious. They are expecting an FBI knock on their door. You wonder why that poll. Do you agree with the statement Roger Stone said that the FBI is Biden's Gestapo? And something like 59% of people agree. Why is that? A couple of things. One, I'm not scared, and I know my friends aren't either. They're anxious. They're not scared. Folks, the FBI, after this midterm election, ladies and gentlemen, a serious conversation has to be had about disbanding this now completely broken agency. No attachment to its mission. I'm laughing at the fidelity, bravery, integrity thing. A lot of good agents. Again, I don't stereotype it. They do. I work with some of them. I'm sure there are guys out in the Omaha office and stuff doing bank robbery cases who have no attachment to DC at all and don't even have anything to blow the whistle on because they're not there. They don't know anything about these weaponized investigations out of DC. I accept that. The agency is broken. It must be disbanded. Listen to me. Take the funding, bump the funding, bump it 10%. Take the agents that have committed to the mission, disperse them over various federal agencies, break up the mission, and give it to other agencies. This agency is broken. It is done. It's finished. Christopher Wray should be fired immediately. He's now worse than Jim Comey. You think Christopher Wray, why isn't he threatening to resign? Where are agents threatening to resign? Where are more whistleblowers? Supposedly 20 or 40 or something came forward, according to Jim
Jordan.
I
have is
33. Why is Christopher Wray knowingly partaking in being the first police state operator of the FBI? Full police state. Comey, we were 3/4 of the way there. Christopher, what is Christopher Wray still doing in this job? What's he doing? Let me answer the question for you, Joe. The reason Christopher Wray is still in the job is because he likes targeting Republicans. Why else would they be doing this?
Right.
You're sending a, does anything I'm saying crazy? You're sending a subpoena to Stephen Miller? Boris Epstein? For what? Eastman? For questioning an election and a pandemic with mass mail-in voting where evidence is everywhere of mis and malfeasance?
Pause that for a second. Boris Epstein is President Trump's attorney. By doing what they're doing, they are breaking every single law, every precedent. They are going after the personal communications between a client and their lawyer. Now, I've seen this happen in my world. I can only imagine what it's like in their world. Go ahead.
You freaking kidding me? This is, we're in Cuba now. We got freaking Maduro in the White House. We got Christopher Wray, jackbooted thug running the FBI. There should be mass resignations. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, this clip's a little longer than a minute, but this is worth
your
time.
Watch it, please.
My good friend Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch says all the time that the power of the left is that they understand the process is the punishment, folks. Now, Christopher Wray, I mean, just the most disgusting leader of the FBI we've ever had. A man with no principles at all, an embarrassment. I'm telling you, I fully expect his guys to knock on my door. I'm not being dramatic. Nobody in this house would even be remotely surprised. I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. Makes me a target immediately. Tom Fitton always says the process is the punishment. Christopher Wray, the FBI, the DOJ, and Joe Biden understand that. They understand by issuing these subpoenas and demanding these people come forward and talk for speaking out against an election that had tons of open questions, that you will have to get an attorney, that you'll have to travel up to D.C. if you're subpoenaed. It costs a lot of money. Ladies and gentlemen, not everyone has a radio contract and a TV contract and the luxury of throwing $200,000-$300,000 out there for a lawyer. Just ask Mike Flynn. The left knows the torture is.
But by the way, just for me, the tolls are $70 to get to D.C. if I drive. I just wanted to throw that out there. Go ahead.
It's the process. The issuance of the subpoena is the punishment. Listen to Tucker explain this last night. Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment is gone. Hunter Biden is somehow magically not escaped all prosecution whatsoever by the same FBI, despite smoking crack and doing deals with nuclear-powered enemies, bringing in his dad. And yet Boris Epstein and Steve Miller, advisors to Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, find themselves under investigation every day. It's just amazing. Here's Tucker. He explains it. Check this out.
It shocks the conscience of everyone who sees it. But the number of people who see it is very small because it is not covered by any media. And it's not just happening to Amy Krimmer. This show has obtained a subpoena from Merrick Garland's DOJ issued in the past week. And what it demands is both unlawful and without precedent in American history. The subpoena claims to be investigating, quote, any claim that the vice president and or president of the Senate had the authority to reject or choose not to count presidential electors. Now, keep in mind that any claim you make as an American citizen about electors, any claim you make about American politics, period, is protected explicitly under the First Amendment. That's our core freedom. It's why we live here. It's why we're proud to be Americans. It's why so many American servicemen died protecting our country. Those are the freedoms that they fought to preserve. That's why nobody prosecuted leading Democrats in 2016 when they sought to reject electors for Donald Trump. Right. It's why none of those people, including Kamala Harris, is now in jail. But right now, according to the subpoena that we have obtained, Merrick Garland's DOJ is demanding all communication from the following people on this topic. And let's be clear before we read their names that it is not clear what the investigation is actually about. And that's the most terrifying part. What is this? On what grounds are you demanding my private communications with people? They never say. But included in this precedent-breaking sweep of political opponents of the Biden White House would be former White House advisor Bernie Kerik, who is the former police commissioner of New York City. Boris Epstein, who is the current attorney for Donald Trump. At no time in American history has it been okay to grab the personal communications of someone's lawyer, because those are privileged. Not anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a serious policing entity anymore, the FBI. It's just not. It's not. They're bouncers in the Democrat political bar. That's what they are. That's what this entity has become. Why are we dancing around this as Republicans? I don't understand. This isn't a defund the police thing or a war on police. It's a war for police.
All right. And here is that question. When you look at the GOP or the Republican side, if you still believe in the system, what are the Republicans doing about this? Not a friggin' thing. And you can even ask Tracy Beans, okay, on a state level. I talked to my state rep, and I want Doug Mastriano in as governor. And he said, well, you know, and this guy's supposed to be on my side, right? On our side. Well, Doug Mastriano doesn't really appeal to the normal Republicans. And I said, what does that even mean? Well, he's too fringe. And I said, I'll tell you one thing. I know where my vote is going for your seat. You got to get in their faces. I mean, get in their faces. Get off your backside. And unless you want that knock on the door, get off your backside. Look, I don't even care if you send them an email, call their office, whatever you got to do. Okay, but we have to make the changes. Otherwise, this will go kinetic and no one wants that. I'm not so sure we can stop it because the left is actually pushing it. Let's go to clip three in the interest of time. Okay, let's go to clip three. Same source video. Go ahead.
Best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's a real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, what a pandering.
I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election. And he was put into office because the Russians interfered.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is illegitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
But there absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election.
All right. Did you get all that? And thank you for stopping right there. Did you get all that? Donald Trump, illegitimate president, talking 24/7 for four flipping years. And what did our DOJ, when I say ours, what did Donald Trump's DOJ do about this? Nothing. You know why? Because that is protected speech. But now we have Merrick Garland. Thank God, and I mean that sincerely and literally, that piece of shit person did not become a Supreme Court member. But he's doing tremendous damage right now to this republic. Biden, tremendous damage. But you know what? The people with the purple hair and the piercings and the tats and everything else who don't even know what planet they're on, who are suffering 8.3% inflation, oh, man, everything's fine. Now we're going to, if you don't mind, okay, I'm going to continue with this because I'll tell you what, Dan Bongino, thank you. And you know what? Maybe we can talk 15 minutes on air on this show. That'd be great. All right. Let's go to clip one, two, three, clip four. This is a very short clip, but important because now we're going to take a turn. Now all of a sudden, okay, what is this really all about right now? Because remember all the talk about September 24th or 25th or whatever that might be? Let's take a little bit of different turn here. Go ahead and play clip four.
A key difference with the CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
Okay, that was Jabba the Hutt. For those people who are visually impaired, listening to this Global Star Radio Network, radio, whatever, that was Jabba the Hutt. No, that was the guy representing the Bank of International Settlements. Now, if you couldn't understand his the dialect, essentially what he's saying is we have to switch to a digital currency. Oh, why do we have to do that? Well, how else are you going to, first of all, how else are you going to imprison someone by way of their finances if you don't? Well, why do you think, I mean, toss this out there. This is kind of a side, a little bit on the side here, as an aside, I suppose. Why do you think they hired 87,000 IRS agents, armed agents, to make you comply? Because they can't have black market, or in other words, free market transactions going on. So now we've got to establish a centralized digital currency, which will trickle down or actually encompass our national currency, eroding our national sovereignty quicker than the 2 million border crossers in the southern border. If you're not seeing this coming, I don't know what in the hell, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's happening right this minute. Okay, Dan Bongino, again, followed it up, and I kudos to him. My gosh, kudos to him. This is going to be clip number 5. This is a minute 20. You'll be able to better understand this. This is an extension of that. Now, this is from a meeting this year in an international finance summit. Go ahead and play clip 5.
It gets even freakier. It does? Oh, yeah. I want you to listen to this next clip. This one is going to toast your muffins. This is Professor Richard Werner, a guy with a lot of experience in quantitative easing and central banking. He's at this little symposium thing, and he's talking about what he was told from some European central bank officials, supposedly in the know about digital currency. I want you to listen very closely about what this central bank official told him about this digital currency and violating body sovereignty. And as you're listening to it, I want you to keep the vaccine mandate in mind. You think this is all by accident? Check this out.
The nature of this CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that.
Right.
But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it. He was invited to one of the old central banks in Europe that are very much promoting this. And they showed him, and you know, he's a top executive director of another central bank in Europe, and there's no reason to believe that he was telling me a story. And he was around this large and would be implanted under your skin. So that is the plan,
right?
And of course that has other implications on top of what we've mentioned, on top of the control aspects, because that actually enters your body. In my view, violates human dignity, and can be then used for even in terms of functionality beyond the monetary and economic transaction purposes. So highly dangerous, and definitely something we have to oppose.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, not my words, theirs.
All right. Why do you think they're pushing forgiveness, student loan forgiveness? Why do you think they're pushing universal basic income? Why do you think they're pushing all of these great programs? Because in order to really benefit, if you want to own property, remember, you'll own nothing and be happy. But let's just say, you're still going to have to buy food, right? The food that they'll allow you to buy. This is a control mechanism by which they will make you a prisoner of this new world order. And by the way, Charles, as king, is fully behind this with the WEF, with Klaus Schwab and others. And I should have mentioned this earlier, that earlier clip of Jimmy Carter. Remember, those of you who are old enough to remember this, when Carter was elected president, I don't know how many people remember this, and people said, oh, breath of fresh air, new people in the White House. Do you realize that Carter, his entire cabinet, with save one person, his entire cabinet was filled with members of the Trilateral Commission started by Kissinger and Mika's daddy back in 1973. And you think things are going to change? They're not going to change. And you think that this is just all a bunch of hooey that, oh, they're not going to chip me? Well, I'll tell you what, you better be prepared to fight. Which is why, just I'm saying, we are going in a direction to make sure those of you who want to be able to at least level the playing field can. HagmanReport.com/training. It's in the show notes. Look it up. Okay. We're doing our best to help you. All right. Is that last clip? Okay. One last thing. Who are they coming after first? Who are they coming after first? You know that, I guess. Let's go to video source 2. Just go ahead, hit it.
The White House used this day to politicize the worst terrorist attack in American history and declare war on you. Chuck Todd was a setup man and compared Republicans to terrorists. And Kamala Harris took the bait. Watch.
We're now, as a nation, battling a threat from within. Is the threat equal or greater than what we faced after 9/11?
There's an oath that we always take, which is to defend and uphold our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we don't compare the two in the oath, but we know they both can exist, and we must defend against it.
NBC News suggested Trump voters are a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda on 9/11. How did the Vice President of the United States respond? That she will defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That was a declaration of war. Make no mistake, the Democratic Party, the media, and obviously the FBI have designated the Republican Party as a terrorist group and believe it's their patriotic duty as Americans to extinguish the threat. How exactly voting for Donald Trump is a threat? Well, how is that more dangerous than the 9/11 hijackers? ISIS terror cells plotting to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. The Democrats won't call them Islamic terrorists. But if you voted for Donald Trump and have a personal grievance, you're a fascist. And Homeland Security's coming for you. This is how the Democrats explain it.
The stunning thing to me is here we are 20 years later, and the attack on the symbol of our democracy was not coming from terrorists, but it came from literally insurgents attacking the Capitol on January 6th.
How important it is to try to deal with extremism of any kind, especially when it uses violence to try to achieve political and ideological goals.
When 9/11 occurred in those years, we were very focused on the foreign terrorists. Now we are seeing an emerging threat, of course, over the last several years, of the domestic violent extremist, an ideology of hate, anti-government sentiment, false narratives propagated on online platforms, even personal grievances.
That was the sitting U.S. Senator, a former Secretary of State, and the Secretary of Homeland Security just casually pivoting from 9/11 to January 6th. Did you guys notice how casual that was? They just said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is Stephen Miller with a beard. I remember during the Bush years when Democrats would howl at Republicans for, quote, politicizing 9/11 because they were a little flag pen. Now Democrats declared a war on terror against Republicans on the anniversary of 9/11. What makes you a terrorist again? Because you have personal grievances? Well, I have a personal grievance. Is that going to put me on a no-fly list? You're a terrorist for believing in false narratives. If I believe Hunter's laptop is real, am I going to Gitmo? And the big guy sounds like W, except the enemy is a red hat instead of a box cutter.
I will not wait on events while dangers gather. I will not stand by as peril draws closer and closer.
I will not stand by and watch. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost.
They embrace tyranny and death as a cause and a creed. We stand for a different choice.
MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies.
This is Biden's war on terror.
Pause that.
He's straight up saying you're either with.
Okay. Chaos is the currency of the communist left. Understand that. They thrive on chaos, Biden, not us. They do. Go ahead and play just a few more. Just a little bit more of Jesse Waters here.
With us or you're against us. When the Bush administration was spying on Muslims, raiding their homes and arresting them, the Democrats were up in arms, remember? What about the terrorist rights? Bush has gone too far. Now Biden's using Bush's war on terror language and tactics against Republicans, American citizens. But now Biden's prosecutors are reportedly negotiating a plea deal for the 9/11 terrorists held up at Gitmo, including mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. A plea deal for 9/11 terrorists on the anniversary of 9/11. The left is softer on radical Islam than they are on Republicans. Remember, Barack Obama couldn't even say the words Islamic terrorists.
Why do you still refuse to use the term Islamic terrorist?
What I have been careful about when I describe these issues is to make sure that we do not lump these murderers into the billion Muslims that exist around the world, including in this country, who are.
All right, there you go. That was Jesse Waters. Again, the link will be in the program description box. You can watch this entire monologue and the entire segment that he did. And he mentions a couple of things there, of course, the Obama. It's not really a double standard. It's a hierarchy, but leave it go at the moment. The time at Fox that Jesse Waters has, that people like him have, that people like Tucker Carlson have, is limited in my view. I believe that to be the case. You know, the more we talk about things like the Hunter Biden laptop, the more we talk about things like the Communist Chinese Party influence in the Biden regime, the bigger the targets we are. I want to bring kind of circle this all together and let you know that yesterday I spoke about about Biden, his regime. This appeared in the National Pulse. Quietly loosening the tech export rules to Chinese communist firms. And this happened just days before Huawei, a lobbyist brother, joins White House. The White House loosened Trump-era restrictions on the sharing of U.S. technologies with firms blacklisted for their ties to the Communist Chinese Party. Folks, I'm telling you, we have a traitor in the White House, if he's even in the White House, but the person behind him, Obama, Valerie Jarrett, the people like the Podesta brothers, Susan Rice, John Kerry, remember these names. Understand that this America is now a captured operation. I was talking with Steve Quayle yesterday, and there are a lot of people who believe that we can recapture our country. I really want to believe that. I really do. Through the normal channels, that is. You know, through the voting booth. Or the voting box. We've already lost the media. And they're coming after the talking media like us. And others like us. They're coming after us. But I'm willing to stand here or sit here, as is Eric the Tech, and to say no, no, and hell no. We're not going to shut up. We'll never shut up. And you know what? Make us. When you've got the Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Standards revising an administrative regulation that President Trump corrected, now authorizing the release of certain technology and software to communist China, you've got a problem. Everywhere you look, the Biden regime is kowtowing to communist China. Oh, and Ukraine, just in case you're wondering about Ukraine, that's still in the news. And it's going to even be more so in the news as Europe capitulates to the United States, their wishes for a green energy all at once move. There are going to be a hell of a lot of cold people this winter in Europe, in Germany, and elsewhere, because of 16 years of insanity that President Trump pointed out. There are going to be a lot of cold and starving people in this country. Look, I hope that we can right this ship. But I want to prepare you for the eventuality that we cannot do it if they're going to take this kinetic. You've got, as I mentioned earlier, you've got Tim Ryan. We need to kill and confront extremist Republicans. He's the Ohio Senate nominees on the left, running against J.D. Vance. Do you know the numbers? The favorability of Tim Ryan post-statement after he said that by the left, 46% favorable. Think about that. How can we fight that when you've got half of the left saying, yeah, these are America first. You're an extremist. You're an enemy. You need to be killed. That's what he said. He didn't stutter. He said that on Morning Joe. Mika and Joe. Oh, I got a dead intern in my office. Scarborough. Remember, Mika is the daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski. And Joe, oh, I have a dead intern in my office, Scarborough from Florida. You remember him, right? And you think, well, no one watches that show. Yeah, they do. People believe that. They've declared war on us. We are at war. And let me get in the remaining moments. I want to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop because it is the gift that keeps on giving. By the way, if you haven't seen My Son Hunter yet, I would urge everyone to do so. It's a unique film. Hollywood won't touch it. Share it to the dismay of the left or of your obstinate brother-in-law. Share it everywhere you go. And 2,000 Mules will be coming back. Share that as well. But what Hunter Biden has done in conjunction with Jim Biden, the sister Valerie, and others in that circle to sell out the United States for personal gain when President Trump lost money, $1 billion, and didn't take a dime salary. You're talking about two separate worlds. As I stated yesterday, and I'm going to restate this, the United States, or we now know, I should say, we now know with certainty that the FBI, as stated earlier, actively worked to alter the outcome of a U.S. presidential election. And it's laughable when you saw Hillary Clinton and all the other bozos saying, well, the 2016 election, that was stolen. That was Russian interference, when in fact, we know for a fact there was no Russian interference, or if there was, it was trivial to the outcome. We know President Trump won in 2020. Let me repeat that for my FBI listening friends out there. We know President Trump won in 2020. We know the left stole that election. And right now, based on, like I said earlier, based on the DOJ memorandum and executive order, let me get it again. Executive order. Hang on. 14019 that Joe Biden signed in March 2021. That little piece of whatever. In the Department of Justice, the 15 pages he refuses to release, we know that they're going after the 2022 midterms. Merrick Garland's Department of Justice, Chris Wray's FBI, they're communist fronts that are coming after you and they're coming after me. I don't know how much clearer I can make this. There is no turning this back. We have passed that Rubicon, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. I am sick and tired of people saying, well, that's not the hill to die on. You've heard me say this. Okay. To those people, I ask you, will you ever meet a hill? Are you ever going to identify a hill that you're willing to die on, or at least put up a fight and make the other person die on? If not, shame on you. Then we deserve to lose our freedoms. But I'm not one of those people. Eric the Tech's not one of those people. We are not afraid when it comes down to the FBI and this weaponized Department of Justice. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to cost us a lot because we know the process is the punishment. We know that we're going to have to dig deep in order to pay for the attorneys and pay to get the DC. We know what it's going to cost us. But the 57 signers of our founding document, we know what happened to them as well. And it wasn't pretty. It's not pretty. Are we going to let the Tim Ryans of the world say, yeah, let's just kill. And I'm not making this up. You can go to Breitbart. Tim Ryan, we need to kill and confront extremist Republican movement. No, what they're talking about, not the Republican movement. Just to be clear, the America First people. The people who care about the Constitution, the rule of law, the people who care about the 2020 election, who don't want to move on past the 2020 election. And by the way, there are remedies in the Constitution for that. Seek the alternate electors and nullify the last election. Go ahead. And bring your Antifa Muppets out and BLM Muppets out. And let's see how it goes. I mentioned about the Hunter Biden laptop. The FBI interfered in the election in 2020 by making sure that that information in that laptop about the collusion with Joe Biden and Hunter and his entire family, with Ukraine, with China, especially, and Ukraine. We know they interfered. And you know what? They will interfere again unless we put a stop to it. I'm Doug Hagman. Please share this broadcast, if you feel it's worthy, with everyone you know. Post it on social media, and may God bless and protect every one of us. Good night.